One receiver right, Thielen in motion to the left of Case Keenum. Tailback Latavius Murray gets the call. Sprints up the middle, 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown! Latavius Murray's first touchdown with the Vikings kicks the lead to 18-6.
The Analyst.
Pete Bursich, analyst, Vikings Radio Network, former player and coach for said purple and gold squad. Momentarily, but first, a reminder, Buffalo Wild Wings Maplewood for the feast tomorrow. That's right, we have a bonus Tuesday feast. Paul Charchian is the co-host. PA in charge tomorrow, Buffalo Wild Wings Maplewood from 9 to noon. Matt Burke will be on air, on site, on demand, and on fire at 10:55. Buffalo Wild Wings Maplewood tomorrow. If you ain't doing anything, looking for a place to chill, Buffalo Wild Wings Maplewood from 9 to noon tomorrow. In studio,
Bursich.
Latavius Murray scored the only touchdown for the Vikings yesterday. But let's begin with the identity of the squad, defense. Are you familiar with a Samuel Newton with
yes.
the Minnesota Vikings public relations staff?
Yes.
Sam Newton is an elite information dissemination mind, and he informed yours truly last evening. You see, when you're winning, it's easy to get into the minutia and start getting ready for next week. Sneak peek at next week via the minutia. Samuel Newton production. The Vikings have held opponents to 4 yards after catch, which is tops in the NFL. So we think back to that Steelers game, Martavis Bryant, when he wasn't freaking out and begging to be traded. He got loose a little bit. We've had some deep plays that have resulted in penalties. But nevertheless, Vikings have held opponents to 4 yards after catch, tops in the NFL. Your Minnesota Vikings have allowed 7 runs of 10 yards or more, which is fewest in the NFL. The defense, it's the best in the National Football League right now, isn't it?
It is. And the thing is, when you look at them and how they're ranked by yardage, they're not right at the top. And they're moving up. I mean, after a 208-yard performance yesterday, mm-hmm. they're going to be moving up. But they're not at the top. And so what does that mean? It just means they play, for the most part, mistake-free football.
Right.
They don't let guys get behind them. When you are ahead, you keep things in front of you.
Yeah.
They pressure at the right times. They very few missed tackles. There were a couple yesterday, which is the first time I think we've seen that all year. But for the most part, very few, if any, missed tackles. So
off that, Nordo's favorite site, Pro Football Focus, had a tweet this morning or last night. Anthony Barr, according to PFF, has missed one tackle all season. I mean, he's played a million plays. And according to said metric site, he's missed one tackle
right.
all season.
Yeah, they've been a very, very solid tackling bunch. They had a couple yesterday. Kendricks had a couple. I mean, so that's not, that's just what they do. It's a fundamentally sound defense. And even from a rush standpoint, very fundamentally sound with how the guys rush the passer. No one's selling out and letting the quarterback just get loose and scramble or step up. And that's some of that's Linval Joseph. Some of that's Tom Johnson. I mean, they're just playing very, very well as a group. And when you look at the defense and try to game plan against them, what are you going to do? I mean, what's the proverbial hole that you can go after?
Right.
What are we not good at? There isn't much. So they're playing at a really, really, really high level, and it's good to see.
Well, you know more about this than us. Now, you know, Zimmer gets here 2014, defense embarrassing in 2013. Zimmer takes the embarrassing presentation, makes it reputable in 2014. It gets better incrementally year by year, 15, 16, and now where we are. So in having guys like Harrison Smith, Everson Griffin, Brian Robinson, his entire run, you know, now you got Linval hungry for a few years, Daniil Hunter for 3, Tom Johnson for X amount, Barr and Kendricks have been around, Trey Wayne's 3, Xavier the whole run. I mean, that Sendejo the whole run.
Yeah.
So now stress or focus on the importance of having the same components with the same defense and the same trickery year after year after year after year. It's major,
it
isn't
is. It? It's extremely important, especially you haven't had that so much on offense, but we've had it on defense. And you can't, you can, if you get a new system, you can implement it and get it in a year, but you can't really get into the meat and bones of the defense until year two.
Yeah.
It takes that long. And now these guys are just fundamentally, they play this because a scheme is fundamentals too. It's alignments, it's assignments, and it's technique. They've mastered all of those things. And another thing I was thinking about too, Paul, was
yeah,
we've had an interconference play. We're 7-3 right now since 2015.
Ooh.
And you look at teams like Baltimore, or you know, we're playing Cleveland coming up, Cincinnati. These are teams that Zimmer is very familiar with. And oh, by the way, Shermer is very familiar with.
Right.
So yesterday when Baltimore's lining up and doing all their crazy things that they do line it, you know, when they line up, I don't think we were taken off guard at all. And if there's one thing that stands out yesterday was pass protection. This is a good, solid pass rushing team.
Yeah.
Coming into this game, they believe they had 16
right
sacks coming into this game.
Yeah.
They didn't get close to Keenum at all.
Oh my God.
He scrambled a couple times.
Even with Hill and/or Isadora, the
I was
going to
say,
Kane.
And with a third string right guard playing.
Right.
Left guard playing. Right. So having that experience with these teams and having seen them before and knowing them very well outside of the division, outside of the conference, helps a ton as well. So I think that these AFC teams are not the enigma that they used to be because our coaching staff knows them very well.
Adam Thielen, sure-handed, only receiver in the NFL to have at least 5 catches, 7 games this year. Vikings are 5-2. I posed a question atop the show, got some emails on it, some tweets, and I will reopen it at 11:15 when we take Vikings and sports-related calls. But the offensive MVP for this team nearing the midway point, Thibodeau identified Case Keenum as the offensive MVP. I would lean the way of Thielen because of his reliability, but for Thielen, Case needs to get it to him.
Right.
You know, and then where I can support the Case portion of the equation is when the quarterback goes down, if the next guy is substandard, the whole thing's over. Look at the Lambeau production.
Right.
I mean, granted, we're talking about, you know, going from Mick Jagger to the lead singer of Hanson replacing the band and playing Wembley and nobody comes. Right. So I mean, it's a high-end example. But
well, remember what we said. We get him a week of practice. Let's see how he does. He's playing the Saints.
Yeah.
The Saints. 87 yards.
Who?
The guy from Green Bay.
Oh, Hundley.
Hundley yesterday.
Yeah, 87
yeah.
yards.
Yeah, forget Hundley.
I mean, I'm just, you know.
I'm saying if the fall off from Bradford to Keenum is dramatic, then I mean, this defense can be as good as it is, but if Keenum's throwing the ball to the wrong team and, like, bleeping the whole thing up, you're not going to Slaughter.
Correct.
Okay, so now, you know, Teddy just came back. Bradford's knee is an L. So if Keenum is horrible, they're not going to go to a guy who 14 and a half months ago was a wide receiver in Northern Colorado. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, I mean, that I think that's a pretty strong side for Keenum being the offensive MVP.
Yeah, that's...
But I'm getting a lot of Thielen steam via emails and tweets.
Right.
And then now, from an offensive line standpoint, people are writing and or tweeting about Reef. Okay, Riley's been good. I don't think Remmers has allowed a pressure in 2 games. You know, in the rookie center elf line...
He's played very well.
Right.
He's played very well.
So, I mean, it's difficult to identify offensive MVP.
But that's a good thing because they're not depending on a player offensively. It's a number of guys. I look at Thielen and what he did yesterday and how they were bending him back into the box to block on running plays.
Yeah, bend it like Beckham.
They did that quite a bit. Thielen did a little bit of everything yesterday.
Thielen the only receiver in the NFL now? I thought you dropped a stat yesterday. Only receiver in the NFL with 5 catches in every game?
Yeah, I said it like 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah, he has at least 5 catches in every game.
I apologize.
Through 7
yeah.
games.
Yeah, he's...
Which, when I started the offensive MVP conversation, that was the first part of the case made for Thielen along with his reliability. But Keenum is the one getting it to him, you know?
Right. And as long as Case Keenum is not turning the football over, we have a chance. And oh, by the way, our running game hasn't completely gone away
right.
without Dalvin Cook. I think that's the other key.
Not completely. Still, 69 yesterday.
I know. That's what I mean. It's still there. It's still relevant. It's still between Jerick McKinnon now and Latavius Murray yesterday. were getting some of the big plays from one of the two in the different in each game, right? It's been Jerick McKinnon for the last couple weeks. Yesterday, it was Latavius Murray. If this trend continues the rest of the year, that's good. Then we have a 1-2 punch at running back.
The offensive coordinator's on a roll.
Yeah.
And he's on a roll with, you know, running backs who are not Dalvin Cook, second quarterback, second left tackle, third left guard, no digs two games in a row. And they, you know, thinking about this thing last night, Peter, and again, you know more about game planning and scheming than I'll ever know. But McKinnon has three touchdowns over two games, and you're screening a lot to McKinnon, and you're stretching left and right a lot with McKinnon. Well, Dean Pease, your guy running the Ravens defense, you know, they're going to know that, so they're going to be ready for that. So then you go power running with Latavius.
It's harder to get outside on the 3-4 defense because you have those linebackers on the outside keeping the edges.
Got it.
We saw, I don't know if it was a power per se or a trap, but they pulled guards yesterday. And Latavius missed the first one because he'd have broken loose again. But we hadn't seen that all year.
Yeah.
So we had some counteraction going on.
The OC's on a roll.
And
a lot of cutbacks,
and a lot of those cutbacks went to Terrell Suggs' side.
Yeah.
Start right, bend it back left.
Yep.
Adapting the game plan for your opponent and for the players that you have.
They game planned against Suggs.
They did.
They ran at Terrell Suggs.
They did. They did a very offensively in the run game. It was great to see some changes put in, and Latavius Murray adapted those changes. They worked for him north and south. I mean, you watch the replay of his run. He was shot out of a cannon. I mean, just you haven't seen that yet,
right?
Out of him this year, so he's feeling better. And you have no other offensively. It's a very, very it's a team effort over there. Mm-hmm. You're not finding one guy, you know, that's running that whole thing. So you lose Diggs and Floyd, so you lost some speed. So Thielen, I think, caught a lot more attention. We didn't have guys running wide open. They were manning our guys up across the field.
Yeah.
Then that's when I said during the game, you're going to have to reduce the formations, bunch them up, because that's what we saw in film and how they drop people and miss people. And then
that was an elite take.
We did the crossing routes and started moving things around.
How about the three tight ends right when they reduced it? And then Rudolph blocks inside, then
and
quickly leaks out.
Exactly right.
It was brilliant.
Those are the kinds of things that, that's good game plan and good coaching.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the speed on the field to get guys just plain old wide open when you spread out the formation. So they bunched it up and ran guys cross routes, did a bunch of different things to get them open, and they did.
Maybe offensive MVP is the offensive coordinator.
Could be. It's very, very difficult to pick, I think, on either side of the ball, one guy.
Yeah.
One guy. And you look at how dangerous it is. You just got to look, you know, one state over to see how dangerous it is when your entire offensive identity is one guy, is one player. Mm-hmm. You lose that one player, and look what happens. The wheels come off. Now, we've been losing players left and right now for the last couple of years, so I think that's something that these players are kind of used to, and they harden themselves to it. They take pride in the fact that, we've had guys go down left and right, and we just next man up, next man, you know, that type of mentality. They've done it, and look where they are.
With Anthony Barr, he is physically gifted. I mean, you've chatted about a lot of his attributes over the years, and you know, for you and Lieber, a couple of former linebackers who know the position and things for which you're looking, I've sensed frustration from you guys with Barr in that he has A, B, C, D, and E, but we just can't get it out of him each and every game. It's coming out each and every game, and I absolutely believe in an ego-driven game where you want to set yourself up forever because of the gifts God has given you. And I said this into the season, and I was curious to see how it would transfer into his play. But Anthony sees Harry the Hitman, Everson Griffin, Xavier Rhodes, and Adam Thielen.
And Linval.
And Linval Hungry. Receive massive deals.
Right.
What about me? I mean, seriously,
right.
What about you? Go earn it. And he is.
He is. He's staying on the field. He, you know, was in the concussion protocol, quote unquote, at the end of the Green Bay game, but didn't miss a game. Mm-hmm. So he's been that way. We've kind of seen that from him for the last few seasons. He missed a game here, a game there. He's staying on the field.
Yeah.
When, you look at those blitzes and you look at Flacco, and how demoralizing it is for a quarterback to just get to the top of your drop and then have to run or just duck because you're getting destroyed.
Right.
That is that. I mean,
it's a house of pain.
It was. It was exactly that. Then we're blitzing, and you have free runners to the quarterback. That's number one. Great call. Great design. Great execution.
Yeah.
And Barr has been the guy doing a lot of that, making big plays, making. They're counting on him and putting him in spots to succeed and make big plays, and he's doing that, covering ground left and right. I mean, he's playing at a very, very high level, and we just want to keep – Lieber and I see him and get frustrated because we wish we could be as big and as fast as that young man is. You know, that's what I mean. That's the frustration because you see all that talent, and you're like, oh, my God, he's so – just God blessed him with something. And he's utilizing it right now. And yeah, that's great to see.
Pete Bursich's analysis is money. And speaking of money, the opportunity to put a grand in your hand begins today, 9 to noon. It will take place somewhere around 10, 11, 12, 13 minutes after the hour, the hour of 10 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's an opportunity for you to win money. Tell us more, Mr. Nordo.
Yeah, during 9 to noon, I should say, during the 10 a.m. hour, we're going to play a keyword. And you're going to have the opportunity to text that. I believe it's to 200-200. So you text the keyword, and somebody's going to win $1,000 and have that opportunity each day to do so. And it's a six-week cash contest. So we're going to be running that daily here for the next 6 weeks here on 9 to noon.
Put a grand in your hand coming up shortly after 10 o'clock. Make sure you are there for that. Boom. When we return, more Vikings analysis from the analyst. It's 9 to noon.
You're listening to PA.
I'm an elephant. Elephant don't beef with ants. You know, elephant is so large, you don't even see ants.
On the Fan.
Programming on the Fan brought to you in part by Cars for Kids. Check this out. Join PA in charge. Tomorrow, for a special edition, it's a football feast at Buffalo Wild Wings in Maplewood. Again, PA in charge, a Friday feast on a Tuesday, Buffalo Wild Wings, Maplewood. More details, just go to KFAN.com, keyword events.
Kai Forbath with a 32-yard field goal try between the hash marks to the west side of U.S. Bank Stadium. Kai is 5 of 5. Snap spot. Right-footed Kai Forbath kick is up, and it is good. And Kai Forbath is 6 of 6 kicking field goals today. Maybe the most underrated competitive arrogance storyline from the victory over the Ravens. I mean, you got Baltimore with this beefy Casey Hampton-looking filled front seven.
No.
Terrell Suggs, football immortality, 10th overall pick in the 03 draft, 15th year from ASU. Almost looks like at times like he can't play a lick. How he had 4.5 sacks this year is beyond me, but that's okay. Terrence Newman, Geezers Unite, 15th year K-State.
Hey, he played well yesterday, too, by the way.
Fifth overall pick, 2003.
Yeah.
In 03, you were coaching with the Vikings.
I remember Terrence Newman. I remember the concerns with Terrence Newman were his, number one, his age a little bit. Number two, he had a shoulder problem that they were worried about it limiting his career.
Yeah.
And obviously, they were
nice,
right.
Nice analysis.
Oh, they were.
It's great analysis by that defensive staff.
No, it's not. That's medical. I'm gonna point the finger right away and say.
And so was Adrian Peterson's collarbone in 07.
Yeah, I know.
How'd that work out for the six who skipped on him?
Not very well.
So
how about the Cardinals skipping on him?
Kevin Williams went 9th in the 2003 draft. He retired after the 2015.
Yeah.
So there are some storylines. Keenum, Everson Sacks, Barr. Hitman, 3 picks, the whole thing. What about Kai Forbath privately being pissed off by hearing on Twitter or reading the stories all week?
Is this true?
About no.
Oh.
But I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
About Justin Tucker being the cat's ass of the NFL.
Wow.
Justin Tucker, 179 for 179 on extra points, 67 for 67 since they moved the biatch back in 2015.
I know.
Career long of 61. He hit from 57 yesterday.
That thing, that was kicked off the Norseman's mustache.
You think it wasn't?
That's where the ball was placed. So it would have been good from the hair out the back of his helmet, for God's sake.
Maybe, Kai's long snapper, Kevin McDermott, snapped 7 games for Tucker and the Ravens in 2014.
Oh.
So he probably got a little,
Yeah, man.
Well, Kevin's saying all week, God, Justin's good. I mean, I was there when Justin did this. You know, Justin, maybe Kyle was like, F Justin Tucker, watch me go 6 for 6.
As much as you want to laugh at that, there could be a lot of truth to it. You just don't know. With kickers, who knows? All I'm saying is maybe we need to start either getting a false start every PAT or whatever, just to move it back a little further.
What do you mean?
Because he can hit from 50, he can hit from 40, but
who, Tucker?
No, our guy.
Our guy missed.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, why don't we just jump off sides, move it back another 5 yards or so, or take a 15-yarder, move it back, and then let him kick from there. We'll be better off.
They sat Mackenzie Alexander yesterday for the first game all season. When I caught wind of that 90 minutes before the game, it did catch me off guard a little bit.
Controversial, I think, was the phrase.
I thought it was
controversial. We were having fun with it.
Yeah,
we were having fun with it.
Well, I thought it was controversial because he wasn't on the injury list all week.
Right.
And, you know, Mackenzie has had some professional L to him during the course of his career, but not necessarily this year. You know, but then it does make sense given you got no Diggs, you got no Floyd.
Right.
You need Rodney Adams in uniform in case one of those receivers goes down.
And Coley.
So, and you got Stacy Coley in uniform too. So, so I think that absolutely played into Mackenzie Alexander being deactivated. But if I'm Mac, second year from Clemson, I mean, I want to be up. Sherrill's has to be up because of the punt returns. But I mean, Tremaine Brock, who hasn't been here as long as Alexander and who didn't play yesterday, they opted to put Brock in uniform and not Mackenzie.
Right.
And I think in sneaky fashion, that's a little telling.
And I don't think Brock got into the game at all.
He didn't.
He was standing on the sideline with a towel around his neck, and he didn't have his helmet in his hand.
Right.
So that, I think it's very telling that you would not, if you're Mackenzie Alexander, yeah, you're competitive. You're thinking to yourself, why him, not me?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting line to watch. And if that is the case, then good, because Mackenzie, we know, is very talented. He can get it done. He made a big play against Green Bay with a tip ball and that was intercepted, but he's also made some dumb penalties like we saw. It was in the preseason, but still dumb.
And no doubt.
Just got to grow up a little bit. And hopefully he will.
With the offense, I think it's clear Latavius Murray, off that offseason surgery, just in baby steps fashion, kind of grinding along a little bit. He looked more fluid.
Yes.
And had some more cuts to him and plants.
Paul, he was north and south on that one run, the big run. You handed him the ball and he was boom, you shot out of it.
He had one of those little side steps that we just haven't seen.
No, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen any of that. So, absolutely, his foot's got to be feeling better. He's got to be feeling better. It's just a matter of confidence, knowing he can plant that foot and cut.
Right.
It's where your mind is. You're not thinking about in between series. Yeah, foot's feeling okay. Is it? You know, I kind of tweaked it on this or that. When that's gone and you don't have to worry about that anymore, then you worry about what, the game plan, your body, your brain, your whole your plant. You're just playing the game, which I think we saw a glimpse of that yesterday.
Jarius Wright, 54 yards and a 30-yard catch. He has some Mr. Reliable to him. I mean, not the fastest thing in the world, always runs good routes, doesn't get a chance to play a ton. But without Diggs and without Floyd, here's Jarius, 4 targets, 3 catches, 54, left his feet a couple of times for catches. I like when Jarius Wright succeeds. I'm a Jarius Wright fan.
I am too. And you think and you wonder if it's he gives you a little juice, and he's the only one out there that can. When you take a look, and Adam Thielen is getting a lot of attention. So you go to number two. That's where Diggs and Thielen have been so good, because if you concentrate on one, you still have the other one. Mm-hmm. With Diggs being out, and you need a little juice on the outside, some veteran. Jarius Wright's the guy. He doesn't make a ton of catches, but the ones that he's had when he's had to have been big. They've been down the field. They've been third down. They've been moving the chains. So Jarius Wright has earned his paycheck, so to speak. And you wonder why you keep a guy like that around. That's exactly why, because, you know, Laquon Treadwell's not quite yet that guy.
I have intel.
Ooh, goody.
Mackenzie Alexander was scratched due to injury. He emerged on the injury report Friday, listed as questionable with a hip injury, tweaked it in practice. He was one of the bits along with Floyd. I was watching Floyd with wide receivers coach Daryl Hazel and certified athletic trainer Eric Sugarman before the game, and missed Mackenzie Alexander warming up. but he did one of those warm-up bits, can't go.
Yeah.
So he absolutely was scratched due to injury, and I guess was on the report on Friday. This is 9 to noon. Terrence Newman at age 39, inside, outside, all over the place. How does he continue to strive at such a high level?
He's smart. He continues to study the game. You hit, I think, your physical prime in this league is about 27. And then after you're 27, 28, 29, the physical skills start to erode a little bit. But you can make up for all that on the field just by being smart. And Terrence Newman is exactly that guy. If you watch him, Baltimore had one or two tight ends on the field at all times because they just didn't have any receivers. But when they started running the crossing routes and all the little different games that they run underneath, Terrence Newman, who was in those situations, knew exactly what was coming.
Yeah,
jumped a lot of routes. If he was 2 or 3 inches taller, he would have had a pick. Could have had a pick six.
Yeah.
That ball would just thrown right over his head.
Mm-hmm.
He was just in the right spots at the right times, and he anticipated things. He saw things coming. He was pointing things out. So that is what keeps him on the field, because the guy just loves the game, and he learns the game, and he knows his opponents, and he goes out there and executes, and he helps all the guys around him. He's like a coach on the field, for God's sake. So that is how he gets to be. And you would think at the professional level, all the players would be that way. They're not. There's only a handful of them that are like that, and you've heard about most of them. You know, Tom Brady, they say. Guys that will just watch, you know, Brett Favre was that way.
A-Rod.
Well, I mean, and a lot of people don't know that. It's all he had was football. He couldn't go out to McDonald's and get a burger because he just would watch film all day long.
Honey,
all he did was talk football. Football,
09,
football, football. That's all he did.
In 09 on Friday nights, he was well known to be at the facility from like 9 until 11:30 in the evening, watching the last possible bit of blitz-related film that was coming at him to get, you know, later in the season after the team began 6-0. But I mean, stuff like that,
right? Those guys make things look so easy. People just assume they roll out of bed and get up and put the helmet on and play. No, there's a lot more to it than that. But that's Terrence Newman, and that's why you love him, because he's a good player. He's a great player still, but he's a great role model for the younger players to let them know this is how you are supposed to be as you mature in this league. If you want to play a long time, this is what you need to do. And, you know, hopefully some of that's rubbing off on him. It's rubbed off on Xavier, no question.
Peter L. to Booth at KFAN.com. Bradshaw and Brian inbox. Peter Langenfeld. Pete, I see the Vikes 5-2, and I want to say, yeah. But it's the Saints, the Bears, the Ravens. I'm gonna put the Saints out of that because the Saints have become pretty good. It's the Bears and that Ravens squad we caught and Green Bay for 3.5 quarters without A-Rod. Peter writes, I keep waiting to evaluate the team until they play a really solid team. Then I look at the rest of the league and realize solid teams are scarce. How do you evaluate a team with such poor competition?
Well, we've made them look poor. Right, you win the games. A sign of a good team is you win the games that you're supposed to win or should win.
Yeah,
and it's timing. So much of it is timing. When do you play a specific team? The good teams, the great ones that are out there right now. I agree with you. There aren't. You're kind of. You have to find them with a searchlight a little bit. I mean, this division's a little bit shy of a dominant factor. We have to go back, and we have to go to Detroit and beat them on Thanksgiving Day.
Yep.
So
beating that squad has become problematic.
It'll occur. It'll happen. I mean, I look back at 09, and what a disaster kind of this team was going into the playoffs. And then we get that bye. Play Dallas, beat them, and you go right down to New Orleans, and you're right in it right to the end. That's all you need is that momentum right at the end of the season. So just put yourself in a position to get in the playoffs and you'll be fine. And you can't control your opponent. You can't control who's healthy, who's not. And you just keep on playing.
Very controversial question for you.
Yes.
What happens when Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, and Teddy Bridgewater are all good to go? Because it will happen. I mean, I guess you got to look at the record and what's happening with the offense and who's on lead vocals. But when Keenum, Bradford, and Bridgewater are all good to go, what happens?
I think a healthy Bradford is the best quarterback on this team. right now. The question is, will he be healthy again?
Right.
That's the question. So minus that, you leave it with Case Keenum. You do need to give Teddy a lot. You need to give Teddy some time here. I know he's been working out. He's in great shape, but 400 days off. You get him all the look teams that he can get. You get him in there, mix him up, and then he's the number two guy. However, I think with what we're seeing with Shurmur, I don't think there's much that Case Keenum is doing that Teddy couldn't do as well, because they've tweaked the offense a little bit. And it's Bradford. I think Bradford has a better arm, more accurate arm. He's better down the field.
Yeah.
But he's not when he's not healthy. We saw it against Chicago. If he's not 100%, he's staring at the rush. He's doing a lot of – he needs to be 100%, and he needs to think and feel him. It's not us. It's not – he looks good. No. How do you feel? What do you think? And if he truly feels he's 100%, then he's the best quarterback we have.
Shurmur obviously has the answer to this, but like the bootleg rollout aspect of the offense – that has emerged sans Bradford, it's added an element to the whole thing that's really helping the team move the ball.
It is. It is. And when you have a Case Keenum, you can do that. But don't forget, if there's one thing I think, not that we're taking it for granted, but the pass protection, Paul, has been fantastic. There were many times yesterday Keenum had all day really to sit in the pocket and throw the football or make a decision whether to run or throw it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not under duress. We saw that. You watch Flacco, and then you watch Case Keenum, and it was two completely different animals. Flacco couldn't even, like you say, get to the top of his drop. 1, 2, 3, plant and throw. That's all he had. That's why our safeties and linebackers were jumping everything out to the flat.
Yep.
Because they knew he can't pump fake and throw it deep. He doesn't have time. So they jump all the underneath stuff. It's the same thing that we saw last year when teams knew that we had to throw short and underneath. Mm-hmm. They were just jumping everything because they weren't worried about anything getting behind them. Now, it's a completely different story, but it starts with protection. Yeah, and the ability to get him out of the pocket and have him roll around has been it's an added element that they brought in that you wouldn't get out of Bradford for sure.
Nordo,
what up?
Wake up.
Soccer teams in England.
Yes,
Birmingham, Preston,
Sheffield,
QPR.
Queen's Park Rangers.
Yeah, yep.
Sunderland.
Yeah.
Yep. Queen's Park Rangers. Yay.
Ipswich Town.
Correct.
Leeds United.
Yes.
Millwall.
Yes.
Derby County.
Correct.
Who the hell are these teams?
And
what I'm getting at is we go to London Wednesday. Aston Villa has a home game in Birmingham this weekend.
Yeah, championship.
Oh, wait a second. It's the same day we play the Browns. Father.
Oof. Ah.
But, I mean, in 2013, my highlight of our trip to London was the Vikings beating the Steelers. But the day before that,
taking
that hour and 20-minute train ride to Birmingham, meeting Brad Guzan, your friend from Chicago, goalkeeper for Aston Villa, watching them upset Manchester City in a very exciting game.
How about back when they were in the Premier League.
How about those City fans on the train on the way back?
I still got video on it. Well, wait a second. So what is all this Ipswich?
Some of them are not Premier League, though.
No, some of them, I don't think any of those are at this point.
Sunderland,
Queen's Park, I believe,
used
was relegated.
To be.
Wow.
Queen's Park relegated at one point.
Brentford, Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough is in the mix, yeah. They're a Premier League team.
Damn. I mean, you have Arsenal, you've got Tottenham Hotspur, you have a lot of teams.
No, Middlesbrough was sent down, too, because that was Guzan's daily double. Went down with Aston, moved to Middlesbrough in their Premier League opportunity, and they moved down.
So Guzan no longer is the goaltender for Aston Villa.
He is the keeper in Atlanta now. Atlanta United, the expansion MLS team that are making their the playoff debut on Thursday.
Yeah, the cat's ass of the MLS from what I hear.
They're going to get 50,000 people a game.
Right.
There you go.
Well, this is going to be so antithetical to soccer snobbery. Arsenal plays at home on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't care less.
Why?
Because I don't know the goalie. He's not going to walk us to his car like Guzan did, where we had to wait a half hour with all the rubes getting autographs and pictures.
Dude, that's a vibe that you'll love.
Hold on, though. I don't care
about the vibe. I care about the goalie.
Okay. Does it have to be a player, or could it be a front office guy?
Maybe.
All right.
Depends on if they're a sweet opportunity.
Because now we're talking.
Really? We have Arsenal steam?
I didn't know Arsenal was playing Saturday.
I'm going to mind the gap.
Let's let's take care. I went to the Derby Day there when they played Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Uh-oh.
They were down 2-0 first half, second half. They scored 5 unanswered.
Wow.
It was nuts.
All right, look into it.
It was Brian Harper. Brian Harper and I were there. It was fantastic.
Wednesday, be there for the boom. The boom of the jet leaving to London, 9 to noon Thursday and Friday, will take place from the team hotel. And we have Buffalo Wild Wings, Maplewood tomorrow. Thank you, Pete. See you Wednesday.
See ya.
Pete Bursich, analyst, Vikings Radio Network, Guardsian Studio. On the Golden Gophers production around the corner. But first, an opportunity to put a grand in your hand.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword LOCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LOCK to 200-200.
You're listening to PA.
I will punch you, pal.
On the Fan.